How many of you have had family difficulties? Hi. Yeah. It looks different for every one of us, so we could all get up here and tell the story of what, you know, the family difficulties looks like. For some of us, it's dishes, like a flying saucer. For some of us, it's the shattering of windows because of the decibel. What's that?
About a blueberry bush.
That's mine, actually. Mine is a blueberry bush. The blueberry bush is where Heidi and I would go out first. I would chicken out of the argument. I gotta get out of here. So I take off and I go find the blueberry bushes. And I'm over at the blueberry bushes. It's out in the backyard. And so I'm at the blueberry bushes and I'm picking the blueberries. We had a ton of them on there. So I picked the blueberries. You know, just going like this. Oh boy, what am I gonna do? Life is terrible. And so I'm picking the blueberries and then I hear the squeak and the side door is opening, the side door is opening and Heidi's coming out. And she comes out and she starts picking blueberries. Talk about passive, right? It's really passive. And she starts picking blueberries, and I'm on one side, she's on the other, and then somewhere along the lines, one of us starts a conversation, and it's no guarantee that it was me. I didn't always start it. And I've gotten a lot better at dealing with conflict. In fact, it's something I actually love doing now. I don't like conflict, but I love working through it because it means that I'm proclaiming that God is good, and that so there's a reason why I'm there, and that's why I love working through conflict. So if you want to get in conflict with me, bring it on. just kidding. We all have these conflict in the ways that we deal with conflict, and things get tough in our families, and it's part of being a family. It really is. It's normal. And so if you come here and you think we're a church of people who don't have family problems, then we're not the church for you. We're the church that has family problems, and including even in our church family. And we work it through. And that's actually something that we're growing in and that we're learning about. We're learning about how to be real with each other, to be real believers, and to experience real healing. And it's powerful, and it's happening. So, wow. So this morning I want to read a passage from Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 29. And this is a passage that is about a family. And the family, they aren't even going out to the blueberry bush. Okay? They're doing stuff like, you know, they handle conflict in the way that we'll hear in just a moment. We're going to hear how they handle conflict. And it's not pretty. In fact, every one of the family members has their own, you know, ugliness about dealing with conflict. And the thing of it is that in Sunday school, if you've ever gone to Sunday school and you read about these guys, and the assumption often is that, wow, I will never be as good as Rebecca, or I will never be mentioned on the same breath and the same pages or stratosphere as Jacob or Isaac. And but guess again, all right? Because we're going to hear about it right now. So the couple things you need to understand first. And one is that in their time, there was this very important cultural rule that they had. You know, one of our cultural rules now is we drive on the right-hand side of the road. All right? If you drive on the left-hand side of the road, what happens? Crash, boom. You're going to wake up immediately that you are not following our rules. So this is one of their rules, is that the firstborn son gets double the estate when the parent dies. Actually, it's when the dad dies, not when the mom dies. It's when the dad dies, the firstborn son will get a double portion of the estate. And they'll have a name badge that says, I'm the family leader. All right? They don't actually get a badge, but you get the point. So they're the leader of the family at that point. They call the shots. All right? Over the big things, anyway. So that's the rule that they go by. And so this is, believe me, it's like driving on the right-hand side of the road. It's that plain and clear. Okay? But God has really messed up those rules, if you want to look at it that way. God messed up those rules. Because before this passage, God is saying, first of all, these two, this young newlywed, Isaac and Rebecca, or I'm sorry, Jacob, and, well, no, I'm thinking, Isaac and, getting my names right here, so Isaac and his wife. It's been a busy week. Isaac and his wife are, they get married. It's Rebecca. And they find, first, Rebecca is the one who was at the well. And Isaac's dad, Jacob, sends a servant to go off to his homeland to find the bride for him. And Rebecca's there and offers the kindness and hospitality of water. And so the servant there is praying, okay, so tell me who the bride's going to be, and let the one who gives me a cup of water first, that'll be the one. And so this turns out to be Rebecca. So Isaac and Rebecca, they get married, but they don't have a child. In fact, for 40 years, they don't have a child. And so they are praying, both of them are praying that God would provide a child. And so we get that in chapter 25. We hear the story of this, and so they pray, and God says, it's coming. You will have a child. Rebecca is pregnant. Now, during her pregnancy, she had a difficult time. You know, call it morning sickness. But anyway, so they were the baby was jostling around in her womb. And so much so that she was puzzled by this. And so she went to her local school where they teach things about faith. And she went there and says, what is going on? There's a jostling in my womb, and it's driving me nuts. And they said that in your womb are basically twins. You have two nations. There are two peoples who will be at odds with each other. And the young, and one will be stronger than the other. And the older will serve the younger. All right? So God is messing around with their rules. It's like God saying, drive on the right side, you can drive on the left-hand side of the road. All right? Okay? So that's the situation. But this revelation comes to Rebecca. Rebecca is the one who goes to the school to ask about this. So the Lord has revealed to both Isaac and Rebecca that they will have a child, and then she's pregnant. Rebecca goes to pray, and the Lord reveals to Rebecca that there will be twins and that the one, the older, will serve the younger. Okay? Isaac doesn't know. Okay? So let's listen to these words now. When Isaac was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, his older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" He knows it's his son, just doesn't know which one. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord, your God, gave me success," he replied. How many of you see the live meter going off? Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. There's the lie meter going off again. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Now, I want to tell another version of this story. Only this time from Rebekah's standpoint. And a different version of her response. So beginning at verse 'Rebecca is listening in on the conversation. Okay? I'm going to start from the beginning just so you can pick it up again, all right? Then Jacob continued on his journey. All right. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he talked about the blessing he wanted to give, "go out, get the game." And so Esau heads out, but while this is happening, Rebecca is listening in. So verse number 6, chapter 27. Rebecca, let me back up a little further back. Okay, verse 5. Now Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. And having heard what they were planning, she opened the door and came into the room. And she put a hand on her son Esau. And she put the other hand on her husband Isaac. And she said, "Isaac, Esau, I have heard what you said. And I have three confessions to make." And the first one is that I heard what you said. I listened in, and I kept on listening in. The original Hebrew word that describes her listening is just kept on listening. I kept on listening to what you were saying. And I'm sorry. I was listening to your private conversation, and I shouldn't have been eavesdropping. Will you forgive me, Isaac? Will you forgive me, Esau? The second confession I have to make is this. Isaac, I've kept a secret from you for 70 years. I kept it from you because I didn't trust you that you would honor what I have to say and what happened to me 70 years ago. And my secret is that after we had prayed that we would have a child, there was jostling at my womb and it was unsettling to me, so I went to the school to ask what it might be about. And they prophesied to me, they said that in my womb were two nations. And they said that these two, we were two peoples that would not get along well, and that the one would be stronger than the other, and that the older would serve the younger. And I've kept it from you all these years. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Now, I know this is all a shock, so you and I are going to need to talk a little bit about this. I want you to hold off on what your plan was with Esau. You and I are going to need some time to talk, and you're going to need some time to process this. I'm telling you this for the first time. I've had it on my heart for 70. So it's only fair enough that you need some time to reflect and heal and hear what the Lord has said so that we can make a decision together. And it's radical, I know. It's bizarre. It's like the God's asking us to drive on the left-hand side of the road. He's asking us to bless the younger one and not the older. I know it's bizarre, but I want you to reflect and let's talk later. Can we talk in a few days? The third confession I have to make is Esau. I have not loved you like I should have. I favored our younger son, your brother, Jacob, all these years. And that's wrong. I haven't been loving you like I could have or like I should have. Will you forgive me? I want to love you in a way where you can experience me as loving. Now, if I had a prop, I would take off my Rebecca, scarf, and I'd take that off. And I want to say it to you, to all of us. Which Rebecca was best friends with her husband, her son Esau, with Jacob, and with God? Go and do likewise.